Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin has gone Kia on this week. Just go to Sunbury Motors and say, you know, I want to drive what Kevin Herr's driving.
And if you do it now, I'll even bring it back.
Oh, boy.
Maybe.
That was actually a prerequisite for them to sell it.
Yeah, I realize that, but it's really fun to drive. It's really fun.
Well, let somebody else have the fun.
Take a test drive this weekend, and you'll find out how much fun it is.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Pirates right now 2.5 back of St. Louis in the division. They're 2.5 back of the Giants for the number one wild card spot. Right now the Pirates are safely entrenched in the number two wild card spot. We would talk about the Phillies here, but Jonathan Papelbon was suspended for 7 games. Umpire Joe West suspended for 1 game. And we have now just summed up the second half of the Phillies season.
You know what? I don't understand Joe West being suspended for a game. I mean, Papelbon was blocking his entrance back to the field, and he just kind of moved him out of the way. I don't know that that was – I don't know if that was malicious. I don't think there was a suspension was justified there. Just my opinion.
All right, so that's the Philly season in a nutshell. The Pirates, meanwhile, are playing great baseball. Beat the Red Sox 4-0 last night. Charlie Wilmoth from – BucksDugout.com joins us. Hi, Charlie. Charlie Wilmoth joins us. Bucks Dugout. Charlie, welcome. Great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me again.
Well, this has been quite a stretch run. They started Charlie Morton last night. What did you see in him, Charlie? And can he possibly carve out a spot in the rotation? Because I believe he took Vance Worley's spot last night.
Well, I don't see why he wouldn't continue in the rotation after a performance like the one he had last night. Only was able to go 5 innings through 92 pitches, but really was as effective as he's been in any start really so far this year in that short time. So 6 strikeouts, 2 walks. You don't want to make too much out of it, but if the Pirates do get into a full playoff series, it would be really nice to have someone like Morton really raring to go and really thriving so that when that game 3 comes around, the Pirates can really make a run.
Power pitchers normally are the ones that thrive in postseason. It's not tried and true, but history shows power pitchers usually do very well in the postseason. Do you feel like the Pirates have power pitchers on the staff that can thrive in that atmosphere?
I mean, I think Gerrit Cole he's obviously a power pitcher, and
no doubt.
Certainly someone who can who thrives on momentum and someone who you could see succeeding in a big game because it's a big game, because he's someone who pitches a little bit better when he's angry. I mean, you know, other than that, the Pirates don't have, I mean, I guess on his better days, Edinson Volquez is sort of a power pitcher as well.
Right.
But I guess I'm less concerned about that, and, you know, just more of it. It's just going to be one game at a time. And I guess you would probably, all other things being equal, like to have that 96, 97 mile an hour guy throwing on in a playoff game. You know, a guy who throws 91 with a good sinker can be effective too.
Right now, I believe my numbers are correct. 2.5 back of the Giants for the number one wild card spot. I think that's right in that range. The importance, if they could somehow pass them and get that one gamer at PNC, if they can't catch the Cardinals. So I think they're the same distance from the Giants as they are from the Cardinals right now.
Yeah, Giants and the Cardinals have the same record, 83 and 68. The Pirates are at 80 and 70. And I guess what you would probably say is, you know, if you can catch the Giants, you can catch the Cardinals.
Okay, good.
So, you know, hopefully with the short time the Pirates have left, they can win the division outright, because whether you're at home or on the road, it's really like this whole wild card game cuts your chances of winning the World Series in half. So if the Pirates can in any way avoid that, that would be fantastic.
Your thoughts on Gregory Polanco? You know, they waited a bit before they brought him up. He did get off to a good start. You know, and it's, the whole thing's about adjustments. I mean, he could end up having a great career once things settle down for him. What are your thoughts on him at this stage?
I think that nothing I've really seen this year has surprised me. He got off to a great start to his career, which wasn't surprising given that he was hitting so well at AAA. Major League pitchers adjusted to him, which is also not surprising. And the Pirates are now in a playoff race, so they're not able to play him as much when they don't feel as confident in him as they do in Travis Snyder right now. Nothing that has happened so far this year has done anything to convince me that he's not going to be a very, very good player in the coming years. It's an adjustment. I'm pretty sure he'll make it, and he'll come back next year, and he'll probably be really good as soon as next season. And so it doesn't really worry me at all. It's just a byproduct of being a rookie and the kind of, guys who can have Yasiel Puig type of rookie seasons where they just, you know, go nuts from the beginning to the end. I mean, those guys are pretty rare, and Polanco's an exceptional talent, but not so much so that he's exempt from the usual rules about just Major League Baseball being really difficult.
Right. Exactly. You make really, really great points. You know you have to look at a guy like McCutchen. You know that a guy like Walker is another guy you depend on. What's been your thoughts, Charlie, on the season that Josh Harrison has had? Because I know I made the statement back in May. I said, look, the numbers are the numbers. At some point, he'll settle back into the numbers. Well, he never did, and I was dead wrong about it. Why have so many of us, or why was I so dead wrong about him?
Oh, I mean, I'm sure if you were dead wrong about it, I was even more dead wrong. I mean, I thought that he was basically a utility player who was just playing way, way over his head in the beginning of the season. And I thought by this point in the season, we would have pretty much forgotten about him by now. Pedro Alvarez settled back into the third base job, and everything would be as we thought it would be. But that has not proven to be the case at all. I think that you know, just watching the games, I mean, anecdotally, Harrison's just hitting tons of line drives. I mean, he's just hitting the ball really well. Some people have pointed out that there's a slight difference in his stance, which allows him to get into pitches more and not hit so many infield fly balls. It's hard to believe, given his track record, both in the minors and the majors. He was a good but not great hitter in the minors. It's tough to believe that next year he's going to come back and do anything like this, but the longer this goes on, I mean, the more legitimate it seems. And, you know, it's been a really a big key to the Pirates' offense that they've had somebody come out of nowhere and hit this well. And, you know, their on-base percentage is among the best in baseball. I mean, they're scoring runs at a crazy rate. And a lot of that is thanks to Josh Harrison.
And that's the dramatic change from 2 years ago. I pointed out often that they were anywhere from 25 to 28 in all of baseball in on-base percentage. And now they're in the top five in it. Charlie, give us an idea what that has done across the board for them to have the on-base percentage dramatically change like it has in 2 years.
Well, I mean, it's enabled them to have a rotation that has at times been shaky this season,
right,
and still win as many games as they have. I mean, they've had a lot of starts where someone like Edinson Volquez, who is a functional but not great pitcher, kind of gives up three runs, which in today's run-scoring environment is a lot of runs to give up in one start, even if you can get a quality start out of it, and have it not be that big a deal because the offense scored six or seven. A lot of that is Russell Martin, too. I mean, a .408 on-base percentage coming out of your catcher is just ridiculous in this day and age. And so between McCutchen, who's probably going to wind up in the MVP discussion again, and then Harrison and Martin, plus a bunch of other guys who are hitting competently. I mean, they have a fantastic offense right now.
We're with Charlie Wilmoth, Bucks dugout. You now include the stretch run that Jordy Mercer's had at the plate.
Absolutely. And, you go back to April and May where he wasn't hitting at all, and it looked like he would be this sort of one-season flash in the pan, and that hasn't proven to be the case at all. And yeah, I mean, he's he's proven over the course of two seasons now that he's a good hitter for a shortstop, and that's a big time asset, especially when you consider that he's not making any money at all right now.
Let's get to the pitching staff for a moment. Can you put a value, Charlie, on Tony Watson?
I'm not sure I know how to answer that question, except to say that he's been tremendously important, and there were many. It's come around now with the emergence of John Holtzcomb, and with John Axford and some of the other guys sort of improving. The Pirates bullpen has suddenly turned into a strength, but for most of the year it was not a strength. And Clint Hurdle had to lean so heavily on Watson and Melanson, and it was good to know that even though they were really struggling a lot in the earlier innings, that they could turn to those two guys in the eighth and ninth and shut things down. So having at least two really good shutdown relievers was huge for the Pirates in a season where they couldn't always rely on their bullpen.
Every season takes on its own personality, Charlie. In this stretch run, the way they've played, do you feel like for some of those who went through this last year and achieved success and made it to the postseason, that kind of experience is paying some dividends right now?
Maybe. I think if you ask a veteran major league player, they would say that's absolutely the case, that it's good to have people who have been there before, who know how to sort of adjust their routines and adjust their mental outlook to really important games and a really high level of competition. So I think that if you're a player, it probably does feel different if you're playing just some random game in July as opposed to being in a pennant race in September or having to set yourself for an actual playoff game in October. I think a player would say it's certainly different. That said, you sometimes do see teams that are not veteran teams. I mean, the 2003 Marlins stick out as an example. They won the World Series without much of a veteran team at all, and with Josh Beckett, who was 23 at the time, pitching on short rest. And they get it done even though they're not veteran teams. So, I think it probably has an effect, but I don't know if it's a huge one.
What kind of effect does PNC Park have and the enthusiasm? Because the fans in Pittsburgh don't just like this team. They love this team.
Yeah. It's amazing how much it's changed. I say that as someone who is... I'm kind of an introvert. I'm kind of crowd phobic a little bit.
Okay.
And one thing I used to love about the Pirates, actually, was that nobody else liked them. And I could go to the games and it would be, quiet, and you would just chat with the people who were there, and it was nice, and there was never any lines for anything. And now, I mean, throughout the season, it's been crazy, and it's really been like that over the past couple of years. And it's great to see the Pirates being healthy like that. And I think if I were on the team, I would really be feeding off of that. But it's amazing how much the environment has changed there.
If the playoffs were today, it would be the Cardinals, Pirates, Giants, Dodgers, and, of course, the Nationals, who clinched last night. When you look at those five teams, is it wide open, or would you identify a favorite?
It's hard to root against it. I mean, it's hard to say that the Dodgers wouldn't be the favorite, honestly. I mean, they've got a good veteran lineup, and they've got, I mean, the best pitcher in baseball in Clayton Kershaw by some distance, plus Zach Greinke, who is a really good second guy. So, I think that they are built like a team that should do well in the playoffs.
Charlie, absolute pleasure. By the way, one quick note. How interested are you to watch the Castillo kid play for the Red Sox tonight? It's his first game with the Red Sox after the 7-year, $72 million deal out of Cuba. Any interest on your part, I mean, even though it's not a Pirate player, just to see him play?
Definitely. It's always interesting to see teams make these enormous investments in Cuban players who have, in some cases, not played for a couple of years, and then only before that in a competitive environment that is quite different from Major League Baseball. It's always interesting to see how those investments are going to turn out. And so many of these investments in Cuban players with Puig and Jose Abreu in recent years have turned out well, that when a team invests $72 million like this, it's really interesting to see how that's going to go.
Charlie, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate your insight very much.
All right, thank you, Steve.
That's Charlie Wilmoth from BucksDugout.com. Roddy Castillo Well, Rusney Castillo will play tonight for the Red Sox. $72.5 million, 7-year deal. He will bat seventh for Boston tonight in that game at PNC Park. So that's the backdrop they think they have their center fielder for the next 7 years to go with Yoenis Cespedes and Alan Craig. They feel that's their outfield. Well, that's right in the middle of a pennant race, and that has also with the Pirates driving for the playoffs right now in the second wild card spot. This is also a nice, interesting side story in the backdrop to this one tonight because a lot of people have been anxious to see the player from Cuba, Castillo, play. We will come back with more in a moment from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention, Central Pennsylvania truck buyers. This is the event you've been waiting for. Sunbury Motors September New Ford Truck Sale. Pick from over 125 new Ford trucks with savings up to $9,000.
That's right, $9,000.
Choose from over 100 F-150s, the number one selling truck for 37 consecutive years. SMC has over 100 new F-150s starting as low as $22,859. Sunbury Motors has 25 of the hot-selling Ford Escapes, and they're slashed to historic lows, starting at $19,890.
SMC isn't done there.
Take $8,500 off new Expeditions and up to $9,000 off new 2015 Super Duty trucks. Every new vehicle is clearly marked with the lowest prices of the year, and financing as low as 0% for up to 72 months is available on many models. Hurry into Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza during this unprecedented September new truck sale. Sunbury Motors, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley for almost a century. Hurry before someone gets your new truck.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. I think for the first time, the NFL has a little bit of a handle on what they're doing. And that is the suspension with pay and let the legal system play out. Okay? Other than that. So. There you go. I think they finally have a handle on it. Now, for the public's perception, is it too little too late? TV ratings say no. This will be a big weekend. You got Thursday night. I'm trying to think, there's a Thursday night game with Tampa Bay, Atlanta.
Yes.
That isn't going to help. Tampa Bay is no draw. Atlanta's a little bit of a draw, but Tampa Bay is no draw.
I'm starting the Tampa. I was going to start the Tampa defense, so I was interested for a little bit, but now I didn't, so I'm not. I do have the Atlanta kicker, though. Come on, that's the only way most people are going to be interested in this game. Let's be quite honest. I know one Atlanta Falcons fan in this entire region. There may be more. I personally know of one.
How do 20 million people watch a game only because of fantasy football?
There's a lot of people watching for fantasy football, but I think the 49ers and Chicago rather. There's a lot of heritage there. There's a lot of success there. So I think that you're going to get some interest in there, even though they're not East Coast teams. And the big markets are in the East Coast. I get it. No, seriously, I think they're marquee enough names that it makes sense to put them in prime time and people will watch because they know a lot of the players on there. But I don't think you're going to find too many somewhat active football fans know more than a handful of players on both teams of the Falcons and the Bucks. They just don't have any marquee names. They maybe have one or two.
Carolina will play Pittsburgh. That will be in Charlotte on Sunday night. And, of course, the Steelers bring with them a national brand.
And, so. My love of the Steelers aside, yes, they do.
That's why it's better that I said it, because I have no dog in the hunt.
That's true. But you know, when
you, as opposed to you saying it, they have a national brand. I'm telling you.
Well, but you know, and if you watch those games on TV and you see the terrible towels in the stands and you see the jerseys in the stands, Steeler fans travel well. Now they may not
very well.
They may not be coming from Pittsburgh. They may be Steeler fans that have been transplanted, but still
they travel very well. Travel very, very well. No question.
I don't see.
All right, Bob.
I was going to say, I don't see the Carolina Panthers fans traveling well.
The game's in Carolina. I think they'll show up.
I mean, if it was the other way around, obviously.
Bottom of the hour, then we'll have open lines at 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Are you turned off by the NFL right now? Or is it, other than being disgusted by certain things, does it not bother your television watching? Your thoughts, 800-795-9565, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, it's 11 at 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin's driving around to Kia right now. Well done. Bob Buhner called from a... at Jerome Bettis's place.
I am at Jerome Bettis's place on assignment for the Steve Jones Show.
Are you at his house or?
I'm sorry?
No, Kevin.
Are you at his house? Because if you're at his house,
no,
I'm
at the Jerome Bettis Grill, which is between PNC Park and Heinz Field. Jerome sends his best regards to you, Kevin. Wants to challenge you to a bowling match, he told me.
I would be more than happy to do that. That would be maybe the best moment of my life.
And, Steve, for you tonight, it's your beloved Boston Red Sox who are in the Iron City, which is, by the way, what I've been drinking all afternoon down here. But
I see light because you're watching your weight.
No one can tell.
And the Red Sox are in town for the second of three games. They're going to throw, I think, their best pitcher tonight against Francisco Liriani. That would be Buchholz. He's 8-8 on the season.
Yeah. Well, the guy to watch is going to be the number seven hitter in the lineup and the center fielder, Castillo. He is the
true
young man that they signed 7 years, $72.5 million from Cuba. They got into a bidding war with some people. They had lost out on getting Abreu. The White Sox won that bidding war, and Abreu's had a great year. Now they've gone out and they've signed him. They think he's going to be their center fielder for the next 7 years. He's going to go right to the instructional league when the season's over, but he is a sidebar in an interesting playoff run backdrop for the Pirates.
And what's interesting for the Pirates, of course, is they have a bit of a battle going on for the National League batting title because Josh Harrison, who has really had a remarkable season, is leading the league in average, and he's just been a remarkable fielder. They replaced him, put him in for Alvarez, who couldn't find his way to first base from third base. He had a
right
GPS system, a map, and a compass. And
right.
So he's on there, and then also, McCutcheon's average has dropped, but he's, I think, in fourth place in the National League batting title race. So the Pirates do have some offensive power. They are coming into tonight's game, Steve and Kevin, 2.5 game backs of back of the St. Louis Cardinals, and they're in second place in the wild card. So they're doing well, and these last 10 or 11 games are going to tell the tale of the tape.
And, in fact, they're 2.5 back of the Giants for the number one wild card spot. So they're 2.5 back of St. Louis and 2.5 back of the Giants. Bob, the suspended with pay appears to be the route that the Vikings have gone. It looks like before it is all said and done, the Carolina will go that way.
Ray McDonald has not been formally charged. He was arrested for it, but not formally charged. Thus, he continues to play. Is that the right way, finally, for the NFL to go, suspended with pay and let the legal system do what it is supposed to do?
Well, you know, I don't want to say that you told me so, Steve, but you told me and our audience exactly that's what you thought should happen as a fairness. And, you know, I can't quibble with that in the sense that he's being paid pursuant to his contract and he doesn't have to perform. And, of course, he's not permitted to be anywhere near facilities. I just think it's so important we have a legal system. Let that work its way through and let's see what happens, both with Peterson. Also, I think today Ray Rice, it was announced, he has appealed through the Players Association his suspension. So we just have to let these things work. What worries me is the concern that owners have about what I would consider the mob rule. And so I'm pleased, at least if Minnesota was going to do anything with Adrian Peterson, it looks like he's suspended with pay, so he's not being penalized.
Obviously, everyone would like to see a resolution one way or the other. And, of course, everyone would like to see it done quickly. The wheels of justice don't move quickly. Why not?
They grind awfully slow. No question about that.
Why not?
Why so slow?
Backlog or?
No, it's not that at all. It's just that defendants have so many rights, and they can file motions, they can seek discovery. All of those things. I think I lost you.
Interesting. No, we hear you, Bob. So, yeah, they can file motions. They can file for discovery. They can elongate the process.
That is absolutely correct. And they, in the normal course of the criminal justice system, that's exactly what happens in every case that would be a contested case.
Well, Bob, are you going to have a Promonti sandwich? That's like the
better.
No, I don't like coleslaw and French fries in with my ham and cheese. I like that on the
I'll
side.
I'll tell you right now.
I'm looking up at Mount Washington, and there's some wonderful restaurants up top there that might post game treat.
Yes, there are. I'll tell you right now. I have had one Promonti sandwich.
Yes.
Where'd they get the bread from? It's like, you gotta be kidding me. My son and I went, and the two of us looked at it and said, we're never having that again.
Yes. They're overwhelmed here, and of course, it's a Pittsburgh treat. Everybody knows that. But I'm down here. I'm gonna go over and say hello to Willie Stargell, Captain Willie. I was here in 79 when they won the World Series, and I'm gonna go, and I'm in the all-you-can-eat food seating section tonight, so I'm just gonna have a lot of fun.
So are you going to hang out in McCovey Cove at all?
What?
I'm out in San Francisco. What's the one in Pittsburgh? They're just at the river. I thought they had a name for the one in the river.
Yeah, I don't know they do. I may go diving for errant home runs out in the Ohio River later tonight around 10 o'clock, provided I have some Iron Cities to do it.
I think that's the Allegheny on that side there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. It is the Allegheny. I'm actually, Steve, looking right at the beautiful fountains at Point Park. And up there's the incline, and right there's PNC Park. It's just, and you know, downtown Pittsburgh is a fabulous place.
Yes, it is. It's absolutely, and the view from that ballpark is gorgeous. I mean, that is the nicest ballpark I've ever been in. Regardless, I mean, I may have a fondness for Fenway Park in my heart and the whole thing, but PNC Park's the best ballpark I've ever been in.
And I'm going to be there in about an hour, my friend. And I will.
Good.
I will say nice things about the Red Sox whenever the seventh hitter comes up to bat.
Well, let me put it this way. If the Pirates sweep the Red Sox will have done their part to help the Pirates.
Exactly.
Well, you know, when the number 9 slot comes up, you could probably go for a hot dog then, Bob.
That's true. And I will see you guys on Friday.
And maybe at some point we'll all go to McCovey Cove, 3,000 miles away.
All right, I misspoke. By the way, speaking of McCovey Cove, the Giants—they're not playing there today. They're playing in Arizona, but the Giants and Arizona tied at one in the bottom of the third.
And lots of fans at the Jerome Bettis Grill here in along the North Shore are watching that game with keen interest.
Yes, I'm sure they are. All right, and I'll bet they're doing it at 3.9 yards a carry.
Oh, all right. Stop. Exactly. Just stop.
All right, guys.
How can you go to Pittsburgh and not have a sandwich? There's a problem there, Bob. I really have an issue with this.
He wants to have a good meal. Come on, man.
Oh, man. And it's even football season. You could even grab a Roethlisberger while you're there.
Well, no, that's, you got to go. PNC Park, Kevin's not open right now. I mean, Field's not open. You have to break in to get a Primanti sandwich over there. I'm not going to do that.
Got it, Bob. I'm with you all the way.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, my friend. Take care.
You guys don't know how to go to a baseball game or a football game for real.
What are you talking about?
I go
to Fenway.
Yeah.
You know what? I go to Fenway Park.
Yeah.
And when I go to Fenway Park, I always get myself, okay, because it's bad for you, all right? I understand that. But I go and I get myself a sausage, right?
That's good.
You know, get some fries.
Good.
Right? And get myself a drink. Now, I'll get a soft drink. I have to drive, all right? So I'm always a soft drink guy.
I understand.
Okay? But that's when I go to the ballpark, that's what I get. I don't get the health food or any of that stuff. I never have. But when you smell the sausage with the onions and the peppers out there on the grill, I mean, it just envelops the entire area. It's incredible. The Primanti Brothers sandwich, I don't get it.
You just have to be a Pittsburgher.
No, I think you just have to have, like, taste buds that are shut down. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Kevin going on and on about Primanti sandwiches, and then admitted in the break he'd never had one.
No, I haven't. Well, I want one.
Then what are you going on about this for?
Because
you've had it.
Because I've talked to everybody I've talked to except you. You're the only person I know that doesn't like it.
I've got taste buds.
I mean, and that's okay. You don't like it. Okay. I'm fine with that.
Okay. Now, if they want to advertise on the show, I'll change my mind.
All of a sudden, I'm a big fan.
There you go. Yeah. That's how you do it. All right. So, another big day for the NFL. In the early morning hours when everyone's asleep, they decide to. And by the way, the Carolina Panthers have officially placed Kevin Hardy on the exempt list as well. Okay. So there you go. Colin Kaepernick's been fined $11,000 by the NFL. He say it was an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. He said he didn't say anything. He's going to appeal it.
I want to understand the West suspension for one game in the incident with Papelbon.
It's irrelevant. It's a Phillies game. They're way out of it. Come on. It's irrelevant.
No, but I wonder why are you suspending the man, or suspending the umpire that threw him out of the game, which, by the way, was completely appropriate to throw him out. And then he comes out. He starts bumping the umpire West. And stops him from being able to go out to his position. He, like, basically grabs him by the jersey and moves him out of the way so he can get to the rest of the way. It wasn't violent. It wasn't aggressive. I don't understand that.
You're not allowed to put your hands on him.
I mean, I know a player's not.
Right, but the umpire's not supposed to put their hands on you either.
But I suppose, yeah, and there was a...
The player got 7 games, the umpire got 1.
Right, right.
Well, Joe West handled everything the way you're supposed to handle it. He threw him out of the game, okay? And obviously, then Papelbon gets in his face, and I don't blame Joe West for reacting at all. But at the same time, you are the arbiter of the game. You are not supposed to grab said player. It's all simple as that. I mean, if he doesn't do that, then he doesn't get suspended. But what happens is that, you know, a player cannot initiate contact, physical contact with the umpire. Vice versa, the umpire can't have physical contact with the player either.
I mean, okay. I understand where you're coming from, and I'm not debating it. I think in this particular situation, I think what he did was fine. I don't think it was inappropriate. I understand by the letter of the rule, it is. That's where I don't like.
You can't have a precedent where the umpire is allowed to have physical contact with the player, where the umpire in an action initiates the contact. You just can't have it.
Yeah, but see, I didn't see it that way. I didn't see it where he initiated the contact. He was already getting bumped by Papelbon before he moved him out of his way. And it wasn't that he took a violent shove or anything. He just kind of, you know, grabbed him by the jersey a little bit and slid him out of his way. It was not at all. There was no intent there.
He still grabbed him and threw him, moving him aside. You can't do that.
No, I understand that. I understand what you're saying.
It's a one-game suspension. He didn't suspend him for 3 games, 10 games. It's a one-game suspension. It's about as minimal as you can possibly have in this. At minimum, he would have to be fined for it.
And I understand where you're coming from, but I'm saying looking at it from an umpire standpoint, you're going to have let a player bump you around and not let you continue to do your job when you've already thrown him out of the game, and you go to continue to do your job in an unthreatening manner, and you get a 1-game suspension because Papelbon started things. I don't know if I agree with that. I understand the intent of the rule of the umpire not having contact with the player and the player not having contact with the umpire, but I think there's a gray area in this one, and I understand it's one game. I get that.
There isn't a gray area. You can't grab him, okay? And you can't do it. That's why you have security. If he's keeping you from doing your job, you call security and have them escort off the field.
All right, that I can agree with that. There's a point to be made, but that's
Joe West handled everything right until he grabbed the jersey and moved him. At that point, he crossed a line that he knows he shouldn't have crossed.
Okay. No, but you're right about the security part.
It's just an arbitrary line. I understand that, okay? But you can't, you know, in other words, Papelbon's wrong, wrong, wrong. Papelbon's not right.
Well, there's no right in that at all, right?
No, there's no right in it at all. Joe West is right all the way through until he grabs the jersey and physically moves him. And this was not a dust-up. He grabbed him, and he really kind of threw him aside, all right? I've seen it. He doesn't knock him down or anything.
Right.
It wasn't one of those, I grab the jersey, I move you. He's like,
it wasn't gentle, okay? I'll give you that. It wasn't gentle.
No, he's like, it was more like, get out of here.
Right. Yeah, right? Exactly. It wasn't.
He grabbed it. He said, get out of here. When he's doing that, you just stop and look over. Security, he's to be escorted out of the building.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it aggressive in nature, but yeah, you're right. There was, it was not a simple slide him out of your way.
You call security and say he needs to be escorted out of the ballpark.
Yeah, well, that's right. You're right. That's a very good, very good point.
And it's a 1-game suspension. This is not a major deal to me. It's just Joe West handled everything right until that point. At that point, he crossed a line. You can't set the example that umpires should be allowed to do it because the player was so bad and so wrong. You're the arbitrators of the game. Now, Papelbon abused him verbally, got in his face, was physical with him. I know that. But umpires have to be bigger than that.
Well, they're the ones that are supposed to show control of the game. You're right.
Yes, and Joe West is a great umpire, always has been, great reputation, the whole thing. All right, so this is in no way a commentary on a guy who is an outstanding professional and has been for a long time and will continue to be. Just turned out, and obviously, can you blame Joe West for, like, you know, I'm sick of you. Get out of here.
See, that was my point, yeah. Right? I can see myself doing that.
That's a complete natural reaction. I get it. But also, you are expected as the arbitrator of the game to be the coolest cat on the field.
That's also a very good, very true.
All right. And
how many did Papelbon get again?
Seven games. And seven games for a closer is a bit different than seven games for a starter.
And absolutely is.
So,
although the way he closed that game, I don't think the Phillies are too upset.
Look, your team's a mess. Well, I mean,
I'm not going to argue with you there.
We could spend eight consecutive shows dissecting the problems there. Seven minutes on positives.
Listen, I may become a free agent in both baseball and football pretty soon if things don't improve.
You're going to be in the waiver wire for a long time.
Players can change teams and become free agents. Why can't fans?
You can root for any team you want.
My agent's only asking for a jersey.
A jersey?
Yeah.
Of the team you pick?
Of the team that, yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm not asking for a paycheck or anything like that. Just give me a jersey, maybe even a hat, if you want to sweeten the deal a little bit. Fan free agency.
You sort of circle a fogged-in airport in life, don't you?
It was pretty foggy this morning coming into work, come to think of it.
So you thought.